day.
And how many know, you know, just like, you know, what's going on in our world today, and you know, this, and you know, I've been involved in voting, not just on a state level, you know, United States, ever since I got born again. After I got born again, God began to, you know, I say, well, I don't like this and this and this, and I never voted. And God spoke to me one time right after I told somebody I didn't like something, God told me, he said, you didn't vote. And the Lord said, you don't have a right to say anything.
That's right.
And I thought, what? I got a right to say, you know. Well, I got thinking about it, Johnny. You know, if I don't fight the good fight of faith, I can't go up about the devil taking ground.
Right.
You know? And so if I don't get involved in the things of God, you know, then I don't have, I can't gripe about what's going on.
Right.
Come on, somebody. We got to be engaged.
Yeah.
Engaged in the end, you know, because our faith is going to be tested. And you know what's been tested over the years, you know, in politics? I'm not a politician. I wouldn't have that office. But you know what? I have an obligation by the Lord through the scriptures to stand for what's right.
Amen.
I have an obligation, and we have an obligation as Christians to stand for what's right in our homes, not just up on that level, but in our homes, you know, in our communities,
mm-hmm.
you know, praise God. And when we do that, we have a supernatural anointing from the Lord that anoints us, you know, just like Samson toted the gates of the city by himself. You know, Elijah outrun horses, chariots of horses. You know, I mean, axe heads float in the river. The Red Sea dries up for the supernatural. The Jordans dry up. I mean, things happen for God. And that's not just Bible stuff so me and you can just say, woo, God was hot, boy. He was a hot dude back then. No, God is the same today.
Yeah.
The Bible says he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. You know, I was thinking about fear this morning. And I was thinking about how fear, you know, fear controlled can be good. If you control it, it can turn into energy for you. But you know, a spirit of fear is your enemy. I mean, it is the enemy of faith. If fear is tolerated in my heart and in my mind and my life, it contaminates any faith that I might have from the Lord.
That's right.
Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Let me give you a little example. Okay, the Lord, I'm down here mowing this and this yard down here. This building wasn't ours down there. I bought this and never thought about this being a church or anything, you know. And I just felt neighborly. I just felt neighborly, you know, to mow the yard of the neighbors that own this, because I'm mowing this yard. And I'm going to mow it one day, and the night before, God spoke to me. And God said, go take some anointing oil and pour it around that property. You know, I thought, man, God's going to give us that property. You know, he's going to give us that property. And I said, Lord, are you going to give me this property one day? Well, I'm on it. So I took some anointing oil and I poured it around that property down there while I was mowing. Well, you know, later on, church starts, and I'm like, whoa, man, now, and see why, you know, and all of that. And so the guy comes down here, and I'm believing God for the building, but God ain't released us to buy it. And we're believing God for it. Well, the guy comes to me and he says, we decided to sell that property down there. And we're fixing to put that property up and for sale. And we wanted to give you first chance, Brother Scotty. You've mowed that yard and blah, 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 you know. And we'd just like to see you have that property down there. And so I says, well, I'm going to have to see what the Lord says. So I go to the Lord. And he's not giving me release to buy it. He won't release me to buy it. And so they're ready to sell. So he goes and buys up his He gets his signs and all that stuff and puts it up there and gets it fixed up. Gonna put a for sale sign up down there. You know, and a little bit of time goes by, he gets busy and all that. And in the meantime, you know, I know the Lord's going to give us that. I know God wants it. He told me to anoint it. That was just like a word of the Lord came to me, like Teresa was talking about. Now I have faith, you know, but that God's going to give us that down there. And then all of a sudden, he wants to sell it and God won't do it. And that's putting me under pressure. And we don't borrow money and, you know, made up my mind and told the Lord I'll never borrow, put this church in financial bind, period, about borrowing money. We've never borrowed no money. We've come all this way without borrowing a dime. But God, I mean, God's been good to us. And we sowed seeds and he's bringing in major crops and all kinds of things has happened good, you know, and everything. Well, I started thinking, oh man, he's got it up for sale and the Lord won't let me borrow no money. And we don't really got the money, and you know, to pay cash for it and all that stuff, you know. And I started thinking, man, that lawnmower guy down there, he puts that sign up, he's going to buy that, there'll be junk lawnmowers all the way stacked up to the church up here. Things start telling me fear's coming.
Yep.
These things are trying to get me out of faith, trying to get me to make wrong choices. These thoughts keep coming to me, you know, and then I thought, oh, man, that some mechanic's going to buy that. You know how junk cars parked, and we're going to have to drive through junk cars, or they can close that off. I mean, I had all kinds of thoughts. It wasn't going to happen. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. God's not releasing. And you know what? I'm there one morning, and you know, and this battle's been going on, and then all of a sudden I heard this preacher. This preacher on TV, he said, you know what? God told me he's going to give me a building. He said, somebody else bought that building. He said, they wanted $3 million for that building or whatever the case might be. He said, you know what? I said, it don't make no difference, Lord. You told me I'd get that building. Hey, could 800 people buy that building? I heard the testimony. Well, when he got done, they fell back, something on the pavement. He got that thing half price from what he started out, could get that for. Wow. I heard that and it quickened me on the inside. I said, I realize the devil, I realize you're trying to get me in fear. God said that's mine, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon, and it don't matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, you can tell me anything, we will own that land. And you know what? A little bit of time went by. He went to get his sign, and it was gone. He couldn't find it. Went to his wife. Oh, I don't know what you... She said, I'm telling you what's happening. You can't sell that to nobody but Scotty.
Bless him, brother.
That's why you can't find your signs. Some people, they wanted it and all that. He told me later, you know, but they just couldn't make it happen.
Right.
You know why? God had it for us.
That's right.
And so I went on, and I was thinking about fear. I've been thinking about fear for a couple of days. It'll try your faith. It'll try to steal your faith that God is able to bless you financially, to heal you, to bring your family out. I've got family on drugs. I mean, they're in and out of prison. I got some in prison right now that's kin to me, you know. And they've been in and out of prison most of their lives, drugs. Stealing, all kinds of things. I'm believing God before I leave here that these people genuinely get born again.
Amen.
But you know what? That doubt and unbelief, you know, there ain't no need in believing for them. They've been the same road. They ain't never going to change. I mean, the Satan is nothing but an idiot.
That's right.
He's a liar.
Come on.
He's trying to get us not to stay in faith. Well, you know what? Went on, and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, it's time to buy that. And I thought, praise God, hallelujah. Like that, you know. And the Lord told me, because my mind's made up, not borrowing no money or nothing. And we don't pay interest. I do not like paying interest. I hate paying interest. Late payments, whew, that $50 gets me. $50 late fee. I did it not too long ago, and it cost me $59. I heard that, and I thought, that was dumb. That was dumb to run late on that. That cost me $59. I got robbed.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, he told me. The Lord said, go to him, tell him you're going to give him $5,000 down. I thought, I wonder if we got it. So I called Teresa. I should have knew we had it. God said it. If God says pay $5,000 down, you know what? You don't have to have it. You just pay it by faith.
Right.
You just say, glory to God. I don't know how it's going to come, Lord, but it'll come. Whatever you say, it will happen. It will happen. Well, you know what? I went to him and I said, we ready to buy that land. I'm glad. I need to sell that now. I said, yeah. I said, I got a problem. What kind of problem you got, Brother Scotty? I said, I don't borrow money. He said, well, I guess I'll have to fund it to you. I said, well, I have another problem. Now what kind of problem? I said, we don't pay interest. He said, well, I guess I'm going to finance it to you and not charge you no interest.
Amen.
And he said, why don't you just go ahead and make up the payments you want to make on it? I said, I done did.
Come on.
I said, the Lord done told me what we going to pay down and what we going to do. And you know what? And I went to that, closed out on that, paid up the $5,000 down. And I got up from that table and I looked at him and I said, I will never pay 5 years or whatever it was. I don't remember. I said, I'll never go that long. See y'all later. Well, he didn't really want us to pay it off early. See, because the less he gets, if he gets a little bit, he has to turn it on his taxes. So if he gets a lump sum, it's going to take a lump sum. Just, that was just really bottom line. And I'm like, well, I can't have it. So we began to believe God to pay it off early. Well, right after that happened, I'm going somewhere. I'm not just telling you a story. Listen, there's going to be a testing of your faith. If you're going to walk in love, you're going to get closer to Jesus. Listen, they offered me cocaine. I mean, you know, these people never had the money to buy cocaine until I got saved. And somehow they got an anointing for cocaine.
Right.
I mean, they're asking me when I come to her, hey, Dad, you got a divvy? Because I'd lace it with cocaine. I had some good smoke. Man, I got saved. I'm not smoking any marijuana anymore. Well, Jesus don't. I mean, he made that herb. I said, well, he made it, but he didn't tell me smoking gets stoned. I said, sure, all the herb comes out of the ground. I'm a seed. I said, but you know, I said, but anyways, man, I'm just, you know, just, I'm not smoking marijuana anymore. I don't want it anymore. Like that, I said, but smoke all you want. I said, y'all just fog you one up, get stoned. But they come in and they said, hey, we got some good cocaine. Man, they got a 5 gallon bucket, laid that cocaine out. Well, see, the enemy was telling me, you can't stay free. You can't stay free. I mean, and bringing it to me. Cut me lines out. And the enemy telling me, and in my flesh, I'm saying, oh man, you know, I mean, just one half a line won't hurt nothing, Lord. Man, it's just a half a line. I mean, it's just a little cocaine.
Yep.
And I had to make up my heart.
Yep.
Because I thought, you know what? But God, I was bound and it brought me to divorce. I was bound and it brought me, I had money and I was living in a brick house. I had property rented out. But God, this brought me to my knees, Lord. This brought me to nothing. Empty without Jesus. That road of that took me down because it was a gateway. Marijuana, I smoked marijuana for 4 or 7 years that I'm aware of straight. I mean, I would drive to Florida to get it. I don't care. I'm not paying car payments, house payments, nothing. And so I thought to myself then, you know, they brought a line of cocaine and I told them, I said, nah. I said, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian now. Well, we ain't gonna tell nobody. I said, well, what you don't understand though is Jesus is with me. Jesus is in me, and he anointed me and gave me my... See, they didn't realize that everything that I loved, I lost because of that lifestyle. Sin. It wasn't necessarily the marijuana. It wasn't necessarily... It was the choices that I made, putting it before the Lord. But letting the enemy open the door to Satan to come in to bring destruction. And just look at the plan God had for me. Here I am all these years later preaching the gospel all over the world. Going into feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, man. I mean, get to serve Jesus with y'all guys.
Come on.
Getting to live the good life. I mean, not ever concerned about finances and money, even with the church. Yeah, Pastor told me one time, he said, well, I mean, I've had to pay 8 light bills in the last year at that church. Why? I said, why did you do that? I said, can Jesus not pay the light bill there? I said, why are you paying the bills? I said, if Jesus told you to pastor, well, then Jesus, he didn't tell you, pastor, and make it the best way you can and work real hard because these people ain't going to give. I said, maybe your problem is you got confidence in the people. Maybe the only way you can see those bills paid is the people coming there that's got jobs enough to tithe. I said, see, Jesus has to be your source. I said, all of that is fear. All of that is unbelief. Praise God. I've told the Lord, if you don't pay the bills here, the lights will get shut off. I'm not paying them. It's not my church. It's not my problem. I'm not carrying the weight of that. Why? Because my faith is tested in that when we get an $800 light bill. We've got six or seven, 800. I don't know what the last one was. 600 or 700, wasn't it? Almost 8. We already got 800 with this year. Yes, glory. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory. I ain't going to say if y'all don't tithe. I mean, we're going to sit in the dark, man. Y'all bring your blankets. I mean, it's getting tired around here. You ain't going to hear me say that garbage. Y'all better get with it and pay more tithes. No, man. Why am I afraid he's not going to show us? See, the testing of our faith works something. What we talking about that Wednesday night? It's working something. Got $800-$900 light bill. One time, guy come to me and he said, if that would be, I'd call Alabama Power. I'd tell him to get out here. Something's wrong with that meter. Check that meter, man. Check that meter. I said, nah, man. I said, glory to God. We got a $900 light bill. And everybody's like, $900? Are you serious? I said, glory to God. I said, it's just another opportunity for us to see our God pay that big light bill.
Amen.
And you know what? Bless God, he's paid that and everyone in between. Amen. Our first one was $67. $54.17 was the first light bill as a church that this one ever had. You know what scripture that is? Isaiah 54:17. Yes. It says, no, now I've hung on to that scripture for 20 years.
Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? It went from $54.17 to $1,000 nearly before. And I mean, God's brought the money in every time. How many know that's your life? If you trust God and you yield to God, but you know what I told them guys? They told me later on, they said, you know, we really was testing to see if you would go ahead and smoke some marijuana with us. They said, because you know what? We've seen Christians all of our lives say they're Christians and you just give them a joint and they'll smoke it. You just give them a line. And you know, and they said, well, you know what? You might be one of the real ones. And you know what? Those very same people, 9 months down the road, when I wasn't listening to secular music, they'd get mad, went to my boss. He won't listen to rock and roll no more, boss, in the truck. It ain't fair. So my boss comes to me and he said, man, he said, can't you at least just one song? I said, okay, I'm going to compromise with these heathens. So the next time they get in the truck, I said, well, I thought it over, guys. I said, I'm going to sing to the Lord while y'all listen to one song. I said, y'all can listen to your secular music. I said, I don't care if you do, and I'm not doubting you. I said, but look, man, I got born again, and I feel good on the inside. I feel good about life. I feel good. I'm on the same job that I hated, that I worked at, and I'm kind of enjoying being with y'all guys now. I said, so I'm going to let y'all, I said, y'all listen to one of y'all songs, and then we're going to listen to one of mine. We're going to swap up. I got half the gospel to them, Danny. They agreed to that. And you know what? Later on, they began to like that gospel music. Why? Because they were the spirit behind it.
Yes.
Woo, glory. They were the spirit of the Lord going in my truck with me. Yes. Going down the road one Friday afternoon, not going down the road. And it was late, and I was down in Shelby County, and I was really in a hurry to get home. I had Friday night services on the street, and I had some lumber package that I was delivering, and I was delivering windows just next to the last one. And these two guys come up there, and they done been drinking, you know. They're probably at the end of their day on the job. And I've been singing to the Lord all day, and I took some doors in there, and I'd come back up, and I tied my ropes up in my box truck that I used to tie the doors. And I looked down there, and one of the guys standing there, and he said, "We want that lumber." And I said, "Man, you can't have that lumber. I'm taking that lumber to the next job." I said, "You can't have that lumber, man." And he said, "I'm going to get that lumber." He said, "I'm going to take that lumber." And when I come to myself, I was looking that way, and I was saying, and he'll send his angels with a flaming sword. I come under the power of God. I wasn't even aware of what I was saying. Didn't even know that it's in Revelation that there's angels with flaming swords. Wasn't aware of that. And when I come to myself, I was saying that. And I thought, what am I saying? You know, and I'm looking, and this guy has lost all countenance on his face. I mean, he's shocked, scared. And his eyes are looking past me. And I'm looking at him. And I stopped saying that. And then I'm like, what does he see? And I turned around, and there was nothing that I could see. And that dude was gone. And then they got out there and took off. You know, and I'm like, what happened? No, what happened? Well, I'm reading later on. And you know, I'm saying this for a reason. I'm not just telling you my story. From that point, I realized that the angels of God were encamped around about me, like Psalms 91 says. We have angels with us, like Psalms 91 says, every one of us that are born again. The angels of the Lord encamp around about those that reverence God. You know, and I realized, and it caused me not to fear any time after that. I had no fear of somebody hurting me, taking me, shooting me. Then those angels are there to protect me. And to, as long as I stay in faith, as long as I stay out of fear and out of unbelief, hallelujah. Amen. You know, so when God speaks something to you in the Bible about your marriage, and your marriage don't look like it's ever going to straighten up, don't look at what you're married and say, "God, and do something if you can." You take that word and say, "God, I've got the word on it here. I've got the written word that says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." And you stand on that until the strength of that word begins to be ignited on the inside of you, and then you will have the confidence that you truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I went through open heart surgery, and I worked my way through that by faith and through the word of God, knowing that by Jesus Christ on the hill to come out of that and get attacked by COVID and all kinds of junk. And then when I got attacked by it, I didn't lay down and say, "Well, the doctor is all." I didn't go. I'm not telling you not to go. I'm telling you I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I thought, "Thank God, I got the gospel. I've got the word of God. I've got the anointing of God. And no weapons formed against me will prosper." And you know what? I thought, "Well, hey, God, man, you just had open heart surgery. I mean, you can die and you have underlying illness." No, I don't.
Amen.
Fear tried to get me on that. Boy, you can't afford to get that. You just come through. People told me, you better stay home, Scotty. Stay home. You just had open heart surgery, man. Stay home. You get that COVID, you're a dead man. I've even had people to tell me, if my wife gets that COVID, she's a dead woman. Why? Because she got sugar diabetes. See, I know y'all learning. You're just quiet.
Come on.
Well, I mean, we got to fear. No, the Bible says that God has not given me and you a spirit of timidity, a fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're never supposed to fear. Well, what if things don't turn out right? I just told you not to do that.
Well, come on.
Well, what if we got our power? I told you you're not supposed to do that. Well, what am I making of? You're not supposed to do that. Well, what if the money don't come in? Why, you're not supposed to do that. Well, how are we going to make it? That's fear. You're not supposed to do that. The Bible says that he will supply all of our needs according to him. Don't it say it? It says it. Well, I just choose to believe. I just choose to believe that no weapons formed against us will prosper. I just choose to believe that God is an old-time God. I just choose to believe, just like that building down there, I settled it in my heart and in my mind, there ain't nobody going to get it. And if they do, they'll have to turn it right back over to us.
Amen.
Well, I'm just afraid. See, I used to be afraid Teresa would leave me. I did. I called it jealous, but it wasn't. It was fear.
Yep.
I used to fear that she'd leave me. And the Lord said, give her to me. And I thought, nah, I stayed, you don't take her to heaven. I thought, nah, I don't know about that. But I didn't realize. So I tell the Lord, I say, I don't know how to give her to you, Lord. How do I give her to you? I can't see you. So he said, imagine my hands coming down out of heaven. See, God give you an imagination, and Satan uses it more than you let God use. Give you an imagination, your kids won't never come out. When God says, if you'll see through my eyes, you'll see them already out.
Amen.
Believing for a house. I'm believing for a house. And God said, if you'll see it the way I see it, he said, you already have a house. You just ain't moved in it yet.
Amen.
So I had to start seeing the way God sees. God don't see any boundaries in his will. He don't see anything. He sees things getting in the way. He says, but victory is already yours. Greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in this world. You see, we can't let fear come in and begin to manipulate us. Fear will manipulate you. God told me the other day, he said, well, I mean, if something ever happened to my wife, I wouldn't ever have anybody else, I don't think. And I said, well, I probably would because I don't like being alone. I said, either that or I'd bring my grandkids in. I said, but it wouldn't have nothing to do with my wife. I said, I'd probably just bring my grandkids in and get each one of them a room, and Travis and them, they'd be happy. Glory to God, free time for the rest of my life. They'd be running home once a week. I give them a little shocker the other day, Beth and them. They hadn't really thought about it too much. But see, we get the grandkids, and they really, really, really bank on us getting the grandkids that one free night. It's like, I mean, it's like, you know how it is when you're like, yes, Lord, it's Friday. It's the weekend's here. That's the way they feel on Tuesday. You know? And sometimes I have to do it by faith to get them. Just so they, you know. But I told them, I said, well, you know, your kids, your grandkids are going to want you to do the same. Man, I had never thought about that. And it's like, hit her. And I'm like, I wonder if that was good or bad. You got that to look forward to. And little minions are going to get up and get kids, and then you're going to have grandkids. And then your kids are going to want you to get them more than one night a week. They don't want you to get them all weekend. Travis, I ain't keeping them. I'm telling you right now, I'm not keeping them. Grandma can keep them. And keep their kids. I was going down the road the other day, and you know what? was thinking about this. This wasn't the first time. Everything creates a problem. You want a kid? You get a kid, you're happy. Problem starts. Mm-hmm. You got to feed it, diapers, cars is coming later and all that stuff. You know, people ain't got a car. They want a car. They want a car. And then they're believing God for a car. They get a car. And then you got to have insurance. A car creates a problem. You got to have tires. You got to have insurance. You have to step up to a whole new level of believing.
Come on.
You know, I mean, I want a ministry. And boy, did I get a mess. Oh, Jesus, give me ministry, Lord. Give me ministry. Lord, I want doors to open up when I was evangelizing. And some of them doors, I'm telling you, one door opened up and I went out in the woods and preached at their church out in the woods. They didn't have electricity, so I preached outside and the mosquito was so big, it tried to take my leg off. That's a true story. I'm following them. And they carry me out in the woods and I'm thinking, oh my God, am I safe out here? I mean, they pulled it out there on a trailer, set it off out there in the woods. I didn't know I was going to a church in the woods. It's like a hidden church out there, man. Well, I preached like I was a big church. And
amen.
Hallelujah. Went to church one time, lady. Oh, I want you to go preach. Sing me in the jails up there. I'm telling the Lord, use me, Lord, use me, Lord, use me. And then when somebody used me and abused me, I would start dropping to the Lord, and he said, you told me to use you. He said, I don't know what part of use. He said, just think about the word use.
Right.
If you use something, it gets dirty, don't it? Mm. Dishes are clean to use them. Mm. Right?
Mm.
You don't want to wash dishes, don't he? Because even eating causes a problem. You know, the phone rings all the time in my business. Or church people. Brother Goody, I see somebody, I'm like, oh, Gina, more than a bit testimony, please.
Blessed.
It's never hardly ever a testimony day. Their car is broke down, they're out of gas, blowout, they're miserable. You know, their job ain't working out. Everything sucks. Life just sucks. Had one call me, I mean, on Friday night. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, God, can't I even be off on Friday night? But you know, the Lord always, you wanted it.
Amen.
You wanted it. You said you wanted ministry. You said you wanted. And then when you get in there in that unbelief and all of that, because most of the time, people that come in, Johnny, they ain't all straightened out. They got a lot of problems in their life and all of that. You know, and I had to learn not to yield to fear that God's bigger than their problems. God's bigger. If I could just get them looking to God, looking unto Jesus, trusting in Jesus, trusting in his word, then all is well.
That's right. Come on.
Hallelujah. See, you can't let fear get in there. It paralyzes. It actually paralyzes you.
Yep.
Well, you know, once I give Teresa to Jesus, I mean, I thought about her leaving before, you know, after that, you know, and I thought, well, she'd be stupid to leave me. We're used to it. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not good enough to keep her. You know, it turned, I mean, totally around. I was in competition with anybody that I thought that she would be interested in that things that I had or whatever. So I was in competition. Radios, cars, all kinds of stuff. Competing for the thing that I loved. When all I had to do was yield to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And it went from trying to compete to freedom. Total freedom. To where she come to me one time, did you still like me? Well, I didn't act like it. I mean, if you're satisfied, don't need to prove yourself. You ain't going around all concerned about it.
That's right.
You're just, you know, you just feel like, I don't have to tell you all the time, I love you. You know what I mean? See you. She sent me a thing on Facebook. This would be nice for Valentine's Day. It was a dozen, I didn't count them. But it was a bunch of roses, and then it had $100 bills around the rose parts. This is what she wants for Alan guy today. And I went, sure, baby, I'll get you roses. I act like I didn't see the money. Sure, baby, I'll get you roses. And goes on. Well, yesterday I thought, well, I better get her them roses. I thought, well, she ain't getting a $100 bill around all them roses. So I go get her some roses, you know, and then I buy a box of candy because every time I cure chocolate, she tells me I'm the devil. You know, because, you know, she lays off all that stuff. And so anyhow, I cured a box of candy. And I told her, I said, I'm going to have to go in there in the safe to get your money. Well, the only money that's in the safe is hers. So I need in the safe, man. What's the safe? So I was messing with it, you know. And I started to tell her, well, I'll give you that when I get my income taxes back. Give your money for your Valentine's on your card. But you know what, praise God? Used to, I would think I got to get her something. If I don't, I don't love her. And all of that stuff back when I didn't have a... See, there will come a time when you'll have plenty of money and you can't think of nothing to get them. Because they got everything. Yeah. I try to think about something to get Teresa and I'm like, she don't need nothing there. There's just nothing she needs.
She's got you. That's true.
I'm enough. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I am your gift. Praise God. But you know what? I mean, you can't let the enemy come in through fear and get you not to follow and believe that God's there. Some of y'all facing stuff right now. And some of it could have been going on a long time. But how many knows you can't wear out somebody that's got character like we talked about in James over there? Count it all joy when you fall into verse 10, knowing this, that the testing of you works endurance. See, there was a time when I couldn't handle a trial but just a couple hours.
Right.
Now you can lock me in for a year and see if I care. But God, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and I'm going to serve Him. I can go years now. I can just go years and not get in a row. I never get oppressed. I never get discouraged. I choose to stay in faith. I choose to believe that God's bigger than what I'm facing. I choose to believe that God is on my side. You know, a friend of mine, he come to me and he wanted to come to church. You know? He wanted to come to church. And actually, somebody did come to church and they were actually drunk. Guy come in, he said, they want to come to church. I said, what time come in? He said, but they're drunk. I said, I don't care. I said, drunk don't bother me nothing. See, I done been when they're drunk in the service. I mean, that one got dog drunk in the revival service. Standing right over there. They said, he's drunk. I said, I don't care. It's church. I said, I know it.
Come on.
I said, God's in here.
Yes.
I said, God's in here. And you know what? That dude left sober.
Amen.
I mean, God on the power, God standing over there, black God, and I mean just plumb straightened up. Guy come to me one time, he said, I want to come to church over there. He said, but I still smoke marijuana, man. I mean, I just do, man. I said, listen, smoke marijuana don't bother me. I mean, church, they ain't going to let you in their church smoking pot, are they? I said, Jesus is there. I said, he's in their living room while they're smoking or in their car. I said, what do you think, church? Is this a place that you know, people that needs help can't come? I said, look, man, smoke marijuana as long as you want to, as far as I'm concerned. Come on to church.
Amen.
I said, you know, I'm not going to judge you because you smoke marijuana. I got some stuff, too. It's just not marijuana that I'm working on.
That's
right. Nice.
I said, you know, I said, look, man, I said, it don't make no difference. I said, I'm continually being transformed by the power of God. Some things that my flesh loved, don't love no more. I said, I didn't do that. I said, it's the word working in me. I said, and the word causes me to want what God wants and not want what God don't want. I said, that's just the way this thing works. I said, and when that's worked on the inside of me, where I want what God wants more than I want what this flesh wants, praise God, I said, that's when freedom to walk away comes. I said, that's when freedom, and then I've not made myself be free. I'm walking in the freedom where Christ has already made me free. I said, so, you know, I said, the whole church has got issues. I said, they look good. They won't, some of them won't admit they got problems. I said, but they do. So don't think you're the only one in the boat, hallelujah, the problem boat. I have an issue right now of obeying Teresa. I just don't like to obey her. She told me this morning, she said, I'm ditching to slap you. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you'll wake up in 2022 and you will wonder what happened. I said, because it took you that long to recover. You'll wake up on Valentine's Day in 2022, baby. She was messing with me. But it does bother me when she tells me what to do. She had a, I'm not supposed to be. There last night, you know, watching that movie, I went there and got me a chunk of cheese. I like nibble on cheese, you know, some of the extra sharp
yes,
cheese.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
So I nibbled there, and well, I got up and had a tissue there and fell off the floor. Well, I got a tooth over there. And she comes through there, gets out of the shower, got my house shoes on, hers. Through the hall. Just dragging them. I'm like, here she comes. She's got my house shoes on until she gets in there and then puts hers on. Whatever her shoes are wearing. And so she looks over there and she sees that and I see her. And she says, you got a snot rag in the floor. And I shook my head. She looked away about the time I shook my head. I'm and took me about. I'm listening to something on TV. And she said, did you hear? I said, I heard you. I said, I just want to go get down there and get it right now. I said, I know that's in the floor. That snot rag's in the floor. I was going to get it when I got up again. And I'm thinking, well, I shouldn't have said it that way. But what I want to say, listen, this is my living room too. If I want snot rags all over the couch and all over the table, that's my business. I'm going to draw a line. This is your side, and this is my side. And just don't even clean my side or not. How many knows we get a divorce quick? Praise God. So I just want to encourage you. Get along with one another. Be the peacemaker in your house. You know, I want to cuss Teresa out every now and then.
Bless you, Lord.
But I just ain't going to cuss her out. The Bible says a wise man has few words. So whenever things get heated up, whether it's on the job or with traffic or at home or in me, I try to be quiet. Because the Bible says through much speaking comes sin. Well, I get started, it's like I steamroll it. Hallelujah. So listen, your faith is going to be tested. A lot of people, you know, they just think, you know, you're believing God to increase. Tom Travis said, they said, boy, we've been busy, I said, we've been believing God to increase us. What do we think? You think God, you asking God to increase you, he's not going to give you more work?
Amen.
Extra hours, you know, or increase your hours. I said, their stuff comes along with believing God for increase. I believe God for a house. I didn't realize that insurance was going $1,200 a year. I didn't realize they wanted you to have Cook's pest control. I didn't realize the interest was going to be $600 a month. Lord, I didn't realize I don't believe in God. But you know what? Then I had to learn to believe God to meet all their needs on top of the house payment.
Yeah.
So see, even in the blessing of the Lord, your faith will be tested. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, praise God. Don't run from tests. Don't bow to them. Yield to the Lord. Yield to a right spirit. Yield to the Spirit of God, the anointing. And He'll destroy yokes and lift burdens. And He'll take us places we never dreamed we'd be. We'll go into places of victory that we thought we could never have. We will experience freedom that we only dream could even be there and heard testimonies of other folks. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't yield to fear, especially in anything. It's an enemy to you, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, I just thank you this morning.